So, Stu, kind of an interesting show today. Bill Maher kind of made an impact over the weekend. A lady with an apple. Of course, you know, there was something that was happening in Columbia University. Representatives of you, the duly elected representatives of you in the Senate, came out and voted for no need for a warrant for you. We take that apart in just about 60 seconds when the podcast begins.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Well, one thing that people didn't necessarily enjoy, especially if you're Jewish, by the way, happy Passover. They're not listening. It's Passover. So Jews aren't listening.
Well, I mean, I guess that's so true.
Now we can say what we really think. All of our Jewish masters are gone. At Columbia University, it's kind of getting interesting. Full-blown crisis. Now, Columbia University is, as it was heading into Passover, as a rabbi linked to the Ivy League school urged Jewish students to stay home, and tense confrontations on campus sparked condemnation from the White House and New York officials. The atmosphere is so charged, Columbia officials announced students can attend classes and even possibly take exams virtually starting Monday, the first day of Passover, a major Jewish holiday. Tensions at Columbia and many other universities have been high ever since the October 7th terrorist attack on Israel. However, the situation in Columbia escalated in recent days after university officials testified before Congress last week about anti-Semitism on campus and pro-Palestinian protests on and near campus as they surged. The latest crisis opened up Columbia's president to new attacks from her critics, with the Republican Elise Stefanik demanding she step down immediately because school leadership has clearly lost control of its campus. Look, I want to make sure we don't make the same mistake we made when we first heard about political correctness. We heard about political correctness and DEI and CRT and all of these things. And what did we say? Most Americans said, well, they're going to learn their lesson when they get out into the real world. I hope you've learned your lesson as these students have come out to the real world. They are the ones who are going to decide what our future is. And I do not want a future run by these people. I'm sorry, that doesn't lead to any place good. And we are constantly bowing down. What do you mean you can take your classes virtually or your tests virtually? If I paid to go to Columbia University, I'm going to walk on the campus of Columbia University. Who are you to tell me that I'm not supposed to be there? Why aren't you telling the protesters you can no longer be here? We have everything upside down. We must not tolerate this anymore. Okay, so I gotta get into that in just a minute. This is really bothering me, but something that I think is even more important is what's happening with FISA and war. So listen to this from the New York Times. Surveillance law section 702 keeps us safe. Oh, Patriot Act, Patriot Act. You a patriot or not a patriot? This is an extraordinarily dangerous time for the United States and our allies. Okay, let me start there. Why, New York Times? Why is this an extraordinarily dangerous time for the United States and our allies? You said that Donald Trump was going to destroy peace on Earth. He instead brought us closer to peace. He did things that I never, ever thought could be accomplished in my lifetime. You said that if he goes over and he recognizes Jerusalem as the capital city, that we would break out into war. The opposite happened. We broke out in historic peace accords. So why are we in an extraordinarily difficult place? I think that is important to answer before you hear their solution. Why are we in this dangerous place? Well, we don't have the fuel. Our economy is out of control. Who was it? Morgan Stanley came out and said, we have 2 years to take care of our debt or we're out. 2 years. Do you think we're turning the corner on that one? Do you think the next election will change that? No. Do you think that our government currently is, do they even care about that? No. So we don't have the money. We have pulled out from Afghanistan and shown the world that we were absolutely insane. Then we encouraged a war and are paying for a war in Ukraine. Then we sent money over to Iran and said, you're kind of off the hook with us. Just pinky promise that you won't do anything. And they did. So the people who caused this problem cannot fix the problem because they don't recognize that they are the problem. So this is an extraordinary, dangerous time for the United States and our allies. Yep, it is. And thank you. We now know who and what is responsible for it. Israel's unpreparedness on October 7th shows that even powerful nations can be surprised in catastrophic ways. Fortunately, Congress, in a rare bipartisan act, voted early Saturday to reauthorize key intelligence powers that provides critical information on hostile states and their threats ranging from terrorism to fentanyl trafficking. Okay. All right. Again, New York Times. Let's just have a decent conversation and just say, okay, powerful nations can be surprised in catastrophic ways, but powerful nations can also think catastrophic things can happen and them not be surprised. For instance, every American knows right now we have an open border. If you were serious about catastrophic things happening in the United States, you would be paying attention to our open borders. You would make sure that that was sealed off and only people we knew who were coming in and could vet could come into the United States. But you're not serious. You're hyping all of this stuff that is real. How dare you? And what do? You're using this. Never let a good crisis go to waste. You are using these things to distort and control. Civil libertarians argue that surveillance bill erodes Americans' privacy rights and pointed to examples when American citizens got entangled in investigations. Importantly, the latest version of the bill adds dozens of legal safeguards around the surveillance in question, the most expansive privacy reform to the legislation in its history. Okay, yeah, well, that's because it's not had any. They just keep giving them more power. At the center of the debate is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, originally passed in 1978, demanded that investigations gain an order from a special court to surveil foreign agents inside the United States. Collecting the communication of foreigners abroad did not require court approval. That line blurred in the digital age. Many foreign nationals rely on American providers such as Google and Meta, which route or store data in the United States, raising questions on whether the rules apply to whether the target, whether they are here or there and where their data is collected. In 2008, Congress addressed that conundrum with Section 702. Instead of requiring the government to seek court orders for each foreign target, this is not even what we're talking about. Do you have a problem with foreign targets? Does somebody is using Google to store all of their stuff in a cloud, and they live in a foreign, and they are putting it up into the cloud in some foreign place, and they are foreigners. Do you have a problem with that? I do not. That's what this is. Why are we arguing? Why does the New York Times feel it's important to explain that part of it? Because I don't think anyone has a problem with that part. This is so insane. This is like when people debate the border. Oh, so you're for closed borders. What do you mean by that? You don't like immigrants. I happen to love immigrants. I wish we had more immigrants that wanted to melt into America and make us stronger. I think our immigration policies, when done right, actually make us stronger. I don't want a border that is open so anyone, including terrorists, can come across. That's not partisan. That is not partisan. That is common sense. So they argue that, oh, you just hate. No, I hate terrorists. I hate terrorism. Okay. So that's why they are changing the subject and making a big deal. This is just, you know, they had to add Section 702 because Google is storing a lot of stuff for foreigners. I don't care. Nobody does. Section 702 has supplied extraordinary insight into foreign dangers. I'm sure it has. They go and enlist them. Although Section 702 can be used only to target foreigners abroad, it does include Americans when they interact with foreign targets. Not only is such incidental collection inevitable in today's globalized world, so in other words, there's nothing you can do about it anyway, it can be vital to U.S. security. If a terrorist or a spy abroad is communicating with someone here, our government must find out why. Yes, and that's why you would swear out a warrant. I have probable cause. That what? They're calling this foreign terrorist? Okay, well, we maybe look into them. Do we know anything about them? Probable cause. The FBI, which investigates threats to national security in the United States, can then check that database for Americans under investigation for national security reasons. Good. Just want to check it. We agree those queries raise legitimate privacy concerns, and those concerns are especially acute for public officials and journalists who communicate with foreign officials and other potential intelligence targets that may be sensitive for political or professional reasons. It's also true the FBI has broken the rules about the 702 database checks, blah, 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 blah. And there's, you know, some understandable doubts about whether the FBI can be trusted. Fortunately, there are ways to prevent such abuses in Section 702 without compromising its critical national security value. Some of the bill's critics argue the FBI should be required to obtain a warrant. Mm-hmm. 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 But requiring a warrant would have been unnecessary and unwise. Getting a FISA court order is a bureaucratic nightmare, and it slows down investigations. Oh, well, we don't want to slow anything down. We want to target people, say, oh, they called somebody, they were in touch, they had a brush with somebody who's in an investigation. Let's just throw them in jail. Let's cut through all the bureaucratic nightmare of the Constitution. All this information has been lawfully collected and stored. Yes. Yes. But that doesn't mean that you can look. Remember when we had a problem with the NSA and the storage units? Oh, yeah, but we'll never use it. Then why are you collecting it? We'll never use it. Now they're saying, well, you look at it whatever you want because it's already stored. They go on to say that as long as it's legal, it's not legal. It's called the Fourth Amendment. It's not legal.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I want to talk to you about my Patriot Supply, and you might actually understand why we're talking about it with renewed zeal. It's coming, and it's coming down fast. You need your supplies to be ready and where you can grab onto them. My Patriot Supply has them. You can start with a four-week emergency food kit, 2,000 calories every day. The food's protected by heavy-duty four-layer packaging. It'll last up to 25 years in storage. It's sealed inside rugged buckets. Handles that you can grab if you're in a hurry. It's MyPatriotSupply.com. Get as many food kits as your family needs, $50 off each. They ship fast and free in unmarked boxes. Don't tell anybody that you have this. Save $50 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Now back to the podcast. Well, hello, Megyn Kelly. How are you?
Hello there, Glenn. I'm good. How you doing?
Good. I mean, we're just living in this Orwellian world here. I thought, you know, you're talking about Title IX. I thought maybe Megyn would have something to say about this.
I'm so mad about this whole thing. Not even touched by any of the Sunday shows. They don't give a damn. They just don't care. They don't care about women's rights, girls. These same left-wing zealots who think being a woman and advocating for women's rights boils down to one thing, whether you can kill a baby in the womb. That's it. That's all we care about as women, you see. Once you actually have the baby, they don't care about the women at all. They don't care about the girls. They don't care about the actual women alive and having to go into restrooms and locker rooms on college campuses with perverted men who are trying to exploit things like the Title IX changes that were just made. They don't care. So I'm done with all these Democrats who want to lecture us on women's rights and how the Republican Party doesn't respect them. So focused on the rights of a woman to abort her baby, and then not at all about what's going to happen to her child once it's born, if it's female, never mind the mother herself. What happened on Friday is an abomination, and not just for women, not just for women. If you have a young man, a son on the college campus, or if you are a young man about to go, be very careful. I honestly, like, I wouldn't even have sex with a woman unless you are in like an engaged relationship, perhaps. I mean, it's going to, you forget the one night stand, you're dead. If anybody turns around and says that you sexually assaulted her, you're dead. You're expelled. You have no due process. It's been reversed. And no lawmaker has voted on any of it. Joe Biden's bureaucrats in the Department of Education decided we needed to get rid of due process for young men on college campuses, change the definition of women and girls, and allow any man who says he's trans to enter private spaces where women go. That's what happened on Friday. Doesn't even get a nod on any Sunday show.
You know, Megyn, at what point do we just recognize that this is fascism? As you said, no one elected had anything to do with this. You can't bring this up to anyone who is elected because they'll say, well, that's just the agency that did that. This has to stop on both sides. This has to stop. At what point is there a breaking point at some point?
Well, I mean, we're waiting to get a Supreme Court opinion over the next couple of months that could rein in these out of control agencies. So fingers crossed on that. But no, I mean, it really comes down to who the executive is.
I know.
This all got started under Title IX, for example, under Barack Obama. Where were the news articles calling him a fascist? They didn't exist. Only Trump, right? Because why? Rhetoric. Not actions, but rhetoric. Mm-hmm. But Barack Obama was actually doing the things. And the torch has been picked up by his successor, Joe Biden. He's the one who, on his own, wrote this letter to all universities saying, yeah, by the way, I'm getting rid of due process for men on college campuses. They're no longer going to have the right to see the evidence against them. They're no longer going to have the right to cross-examine. They're no longer going to get a live hearing. We're going to have victims' rights advocates decide all of these cases and just pretend that they're impartial. He did it with the stroke of his pen. Remember his pen and his phone on the immigration mm-hmm. policy?
Yep.
He was doing the same thing in this lane. And Trump, God bless him, came in and undid it all. What can be done with the pen can be undone with the pen. And now Joe Biden has come in and gone the other way. And yet what he's done with Title IX, with these two things we're discussing, is much more permanent. It's much worse than an executive order. It's an agency regulation, which is going to be a lot harder to undo. It can be undone, but we need a different president.
So how are we going to deal with this? There are things I can guarantee you. I mean, they did a study 3 years out. I was reading about how the left was looking at all of the levers and the knobs and the dials that they could just turn even 5% and no one would even notice. And it would put us on a different trajectory that could not be undone. How are we going to get rid of all of it? Let's say Trump wins. How do you reverse all of this and then make sure that it doesn't go back?
Bit by bit. While we were focused on other things, they were taking over legislation in 50 states and at the federal level when it comes to so-called trans rights.
Yeah.
And whenever you hear that term, you should remind yourself it means at the erasure of women, at the expense of women's rights. I was looking on Friday when Title IX with the revisions came out. You know, where are the women's groups? Where are they to say this is too much? We are not redefining women and we're not allowing so-called trans women, which is a completely made-up thing. There's no such thing as a trans woman. It's a man pretending to be a woman. That's what it is. Into our bathrooms and our locker rooms, in our grade schools, in our colleges where women don't want to share their locker room with some random man who claims he's a woman. Have you seen some of the videos on the internet of the men who exploit this provision? It's not all lovely, genuinely confused men who really want to pass as women. The vast majority of the time, it's either someone who's a pervert, who's exploiting it because he gets off on seeing women half dressed, or it's somebody who's called an autogynephile who gets sexually aroused by wearing women's clothing. Why does he have the right to come into my daughter's bathroom or a locker room where she's half dressed? So that's what's happening. And so where are the women's groups? Nowhere. One of the first to cheer the legislation was the National Women's Law Center. Like, what? You know, guess who's running that? A trans person, a man pretending to be a woman. No wonder. Talk about, like, all these left-wing organizations that were supposed to stand for, let's say, against anti-Semitism have been co-opted by people who are on the other side, or for women's rights have been co-opted by people who are on the other side. Bit by bit, they've been laying the groundwork for legislation in all these states to allow medicalization of children to have their penises chopped off because that's gender-affirming care. And our side was asleep at the switch. And by our side, I mean the side of reason. Mm-hmm. So we're waking up, and we have a lot of work to do.
Can I ask you, the tone of your voice on this is just different. I can hear that it runs to the core of who you are and what you believe. You know, when we first met, 2008 or so, you know, we both were doing jobs, and there were a lot of things that, because it wasn't happening this fast, that you'd be like, okay, let's hit that story and that story. Now, for at least for me, there's no time for me to hit stories that I may want to. Our job has changed. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I do. And I don't, like, for me personally, I'll just say this. I'm so glad I'm not in my old role at Fox or NBC for that matter, because even where I was at Fox, you know, I was more on the news side, but I could never be as open as I am now about my opinions on these issues and, you know, how strongly I feel. I just don't think I would have been able to just play it straight and tell, quote, both sides of issues like this. There's a right and a wrong. You know, there's a good and an evil. I actually was giving a talk at a Stanford business class on Friday, and they were saying, some of the comments in your videos online speak in terms of good and evil. Are you okay with that? And I said, 100% yes. If you don't see it that way, truly, you haven't been paying attention. You want to chop off a body part on a minor and tell me that there's a debate on that or sterilize him?
Did you see?
Because he went through a phase or he's autistic and you didn't look into it?
Did you see Bill Maher this weekend?
Yes, he's getting it. I mean, he's been great on the non-woke versus woke battle, but we did a long story on the nonsense at Nickelodeon,
right,
and put on one of the women who had grown up there as a child star, and she had terrible things to say about them. It was like a pedophile factory. I will never look at them the same again. But it's also like more and more in leftist circles, Glenn, it's not over, because they're now talking about changing the word pedophile to minor attracted person.
Yeah.
All we could do is fight. How could any straight news person indulge this with 2 seconds of thought? Like, we do have to take a side, you know, and rhetorical arms against this lunacy. And, you know, whether it's fascism or moral rot, the absence of God in our public spaces and private spaces has led to the uprising of the devil or a devil-like figure. Mm. And, you know, I'm not even that religious. I just see this as a, you know, as a human.
No, I know. James Lindsay he's an atheist. And he said, Glenn, there's no other word to describe this other than evil. It is just flat out evil what's going on. May I recommend something to you? I don't know how long your drive is or your commute or anything. But next time you have about 20 minutes, go to Audible and listen to the new production, came out last month on 1984. It's about an hour and a half in total, but just listen to the first 20 minutes. It's been a long time since I've listened to 1984, and I want you to hear it because it's different than reading it right now. And there are scenes where the parents are afraid of their children. There are the first 20 minutes is like, wow, we're here. I mean, it's, you know, when I read it, probably when you read it in high school, you read it and it was science fiction. No. It's real for the first time. When I heard this, I was like, oh my gosh. And it's done by really good actors that you would know. Please check it out. Yeah.
I will do it. Thank you for the recommendation.
You're welcome.
That will not take the edge off.
No, it won't. But I will tell you that it is. It's shocking to me because I read 1984 probably 10 years ago again. And, you know, I'm like, okay, it was shocking to me this time around when I listened to it. It is. And how the actors, I don't know if any of the actors went, you know, that kind of sounds like the stuff we're doing right now. I mean, it's phenomenal how eye opening it is. Megan, thank you. God bless you.
And you as well, Glenn. See you soon.
Megan Kelly from the Megan Kelly Extravaganza, I think that's what she calls it, on Sirius XM after this program.
I don't remember her saying that, but
no, she should.
You're listening to the best of Glenn Beck. Check out the full show podcast to listen to the rest of this interview.
I want to talk to you about Jace Medical. There's some things going on with our medical system that is just disturbing. Looks like China is getting ready to pound our infrastructure. You know, we get most of our medicine from China. May I suggest you get your medicine and you have at least a year's worth of it at your house? Jace Medical can help you on many of the medications that you may be taking or need at your home. They started a few years ago with just 5 different antibiotics, the Jace case, and you can have it and personalize it to your needs. My daughter is allergic to amoxicillin, so we don't have amoxicillin in our Jace case. You can get whatever antibiotics that you need from Jace Medical. Jace Medical, enter the promo code Beck at the at checkout for a discount on your order. Promo code Beck, Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. Also, you can get your prescriptions that your family needs from jacemedical.com. I suggest you do it now. I want to play Bill Maher's monologue. I think this is something that you need to hear.
Finally, new rule. As one of the few people in the public eye who's gone through life and never had kids, someone has to tell me, why am I always having to defend them? I don't even like kids. but I also think it's every adult's job to protect them. Have you all been watching the Max documentary called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV? OMG. Nickelodeon, it wasn't a studio, it was Neverland Ranch with Kraft Services. It is just scene after scene, clip after clip, of the child stars of their day being subjected to obviously inappropriate, highly sexualized degradation, and quite a few pickles going through glory holes. I was grossed out and I've gone camping with John Waters. I kid you, John, I love you. So I don't know if this documentary is the talk of your town, but it is out here because it didn't just expose a dangerous workplace, it also exposed hypocrisy. Because it must be pointed out that when the evil governor of Florida was saying the exact same thing about kids and creepy stuff at Disney that liberals now find intolerable at Nickelodeon, he was dismissed as a hick and a bigot. But why would a kids' content factory like Disney be all that different than the one at Nickelodeon? A 2014 CNN report discovered that at least 35 Disney employees had been arrested for sex crimes against children, and in 2021, Disney child star Alison Stoner confessed she only narrowly survived the toddler-to-train-wreck pipeline. The next year, child star Cole Sprouse told the New York Times that young actresses at the Disney Channel were heavily sexualized from an early age. You know, Willie Sutton said he robbed banks because that's where the money is. And the reason we find pedophiles in the Boy Scouts and the rectory in kids' TV is that's where the kids are. DeSantis wasn't wrong, but we're so tribal now, the left will overlook if the guy from the wrong party calls it out. Sure, Nickelodeon messed up Amanda Bynes, but the Mickey Mouse Club was where Britney Spears got her start, and she's perfectly fine. And get this, after Brian Peck, who was one of the lead creeps at Nickelodeon, served 16 months in prison for the molesting he did there, Disney hired him, naturally, to work on a children's series. Oh, for pedophiles in Hollywood, it's a small world after all. And not just Hollywood. There are Instagram moms these days who are practically only fansing their itty-bitty beauty queen daughters by having them wear skimpy bikinis and eat bananas to build social media stardom. They're called sharenters, a hybrid of sharing and parent. I call them pimps, a hybrid of pimp and And people who believe in social justice have agreed this is wrong and this is bad, and exposing kids to an adult world of lurid costumes and garish makeup borders on abuse. Now hurry up and get in the car. We're late for Drag Queen Story Hour.
This is powerful coming from him.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a drag queen, but maybe it's time to admit that sometimes Drag Queen Story Hour is more for the queen than the kids. Sure, kids love a clown, but does the clown have to have And when I see a five-year-old tipping at a bar under a sign that says it's not gonna lick itself, do I have to pretend that's cool in order to keep my liberal ID card?
Good for you.
Sorry, I can't do that.
Good for you.
If you want kids to be more tolerant, why not have handicapped people read them stories? Kids are more likely to encounter disabled people than drag queens in life. Geez, can't we just go back to the good old days when kids were read simple stories with simple morals, like, if you're a lonely single man, just make a boy out of wood. I've said it before, wokeness is not an extension of liberalism anymore. It's more often taking something so far that it becomes the opposite. Teaching kids not to hate or judge those who are different, great. Proud we got there, all for that. But at a certain point, inclusion becomes promotion. And contrary to current progressive dogma, children aren't miniature adults wise beyond their years, they're morons. They're gullible morons who'll believe anything and just want to please grown-ups. And they don't have any frame of reference. So they normalize whatever's happening. That's why endlessly talking about gender to six-year-olds isn't just inappropriate. It's what the law would call entrapment, which means enticing people into doing something they wouldn't ordinarily do. For example, after 9/11, there were several cases of overzealous federal agents leading sad losers into terrorist plots, like the undercover FBI agent who got seven out-of-work dudes in Liberty City, Florida, to sign on to a plot to bomb the Sears Tower in Chicago. Oh, please, these guys didn't even have a gun. But when someone said, wouldn't it be cool if we taught the man a lesson and blew something up? They said, yeah, that would be kind of cool. Entrapment. Suggesting someone into something they wouldn't otherwise do. And if you think that some of that isn't going on with gender in schools, you're not watching enough TikTok videos.
I pledge allegiance to the queers.
I'm not allowed to be out as trans non-binary at school. So my response to this is to be as obnoxiously queer as possible.
There's a certain kind of activist these days who wants to take heterosexuality, old school, old fashioned, boring, minding its own business, heterosexuality, and lump it in with patriarchy and sexism and racism and tell kids, wouldn't it be cool if you were anything but that? It also seems to be the theme of kind of a lot of kids' books these days. I never used the phrase gay agenda because I thought it was mostly nonsense. And it is, mostly. But a director for Disney Television Animation did say after she was hired,
the showrunners were super welcoming to like my like not at all secret gay agenda. Like I was just wherever I could, just basically adding queerness. No one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
Look, I'm all for adding queerness wherever. I put some in my drink before I came out here tonight. But maybe we should think about giving kids a break from our culture wars for a minute, or at least until the election is over.
Wow.
This is remarkable from Bill Maher. I've never played a whole monologue from Bill Maher before. And we disagree on a lot. He isn't changing. Remember what the woman who saved all those Jews in Auschwitz told me. She's like 90 years old, and she said, the righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They just refused to go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. That's all he's doing. He is demonstrating now. It doesn't take anything but courage to say what you know is right. He's not changed. He is now to a point to where he's seen enough to where he's like, wait a minute. Liberals and progressives are not the same. Wokeism and liberalism is not the same. And you could tolerate that for a while because it kind of was the same. And let me say this. On the right, the people who are saying we now have to get rid of the Constitution, we need extra constitutional powers for the presidency, you might be like Bill Maher and go, well, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with it, but times are different. And, you know, what they're saying is going to turn out to be is just totally nonsense. No, it's not. No, it's not. You go away from the Constitution, you never come back. You never come back. If the conservatives can't realize that there is an infection in the conservative movement right now that is absolutely anti-constitutional, you're fooling yourself as much as Bill Maher did. And we won't have the time for you to wake up like Bill Maher has. He hasn't changed. He's just opened his eyes and went, you know what? It's gone too far. The too far of correction on the conservative side, just like it is right now with Joe Biden, all that extra constitutional power that he is grabbing onto, you cannot grab onto it for the right and wield it. That power belongs back to the people, to the individuals, and protected by the Constitution and Bill of Rights.